Welcome to the Retired Podcast. I'm Riley.
And I'm Noah.
We're former professional athletes turned to parents and business owners.
We created this podcast to talk about sports, life, and everything in between.
Thanks for joining us. Let's get to it.
Welcome back to the Retired Podcast. Today, we are talking about benchwarming.
Not the movie.
Riding Pine. How it sucks, how to get through it, how to stay ready, and I feel like this is a valuable lesson because I feel like at some point in your career, especially if you played long enough, you probably rode the pine for a little bit.
You think Bryce Harper ever rode pine?
Unless you're Bryce Harper. You know, I bet there was a game in the bigs, a couple games where he sat.
Are you not going to do your V8?
Oh, yeah. Today's episode.
You popped it so nicely.
I did. That was a crisp, clean opening. Today's episode is not brought to you by V8, but we wish it was. All right. Riding Pine. The good, the bad, the ugly.
I think it's all just ugly.
There can be good in Riding Pine. No, it's horrible. Give me your experience, because I know for you, you really only sat the bench maybe one season, and it was kind of like, it's kind of a weird dynamic as to why you were sitting the bench.
I've sat the bench before that.
In college?
No. Well, yeah. Kinda. I have three instances.
Okay, let's hear them.
First instance, it was my transition from 14U to 16U, and in softball, that was the biggest jump in recruiting at that time.
You guys just skip 15U in softball?
So in softball, you go every 2 years. So it's 10U, 12U, 14, 16, 18. There are more people that play baseball than softball. So it makes more sense to do it every 2 years. Anyways, and so I was playing with girls that were 2-3 years older than me. One girl was 4 years older than me, I think. But that was just kind of the nature. 18U was kind of reserved for people who had already been committed. Mm. So you didn't even have to be 18. Like, you can always go up and play up to whatever age group. Obviously, you can't play down, but...
Yeah.
So, my first season, 16U, there were four shortstops, technically. And I played short. I hadn't tapped into third base, really, yet at all. Mm. So, during recruiting tournaments, you would alternate out at whatever position, and I really played short, sometimes third a little bit, and then I kind of started playing second base, but that was just so like the rotation was smooth for everybody. Yeah. But no, I had to fight for short, and it wasn't until like the end of the summer when we were at playing nationals and stuff like that I felt like I was solidified.
Nice.
But that was like a good Riding Pine instance, because it forced me to work harder. That was when I really found out what hard work was like.
Yeah.
Second instance, Riding Pine, was my sophomore fall at A&M. I had an okay freshman year, and I always tell people this. Like, I played every single game. I hit, like, 280, I think. That was my season batting average, which for a freshman in the SEC, I feel like isn't bad.
That's great.
But I was surrounded by other freshmen who were doing extraordinarily well.
Freaking and so Tori, I was, man. Tori Vidalis. God.
She wasn't a freshman. She's older than me.
Yeah, she's older than you.
Yeah. It was the girls in my class. They had got all the girls in my class had gotten like the year before, all freshman SEC. And I didn't, obviously. So I was just kind of like an average, I don't know, player on the field at that point.
Average Joe.
In the fall, we played two exhibition games against the Pride. And the Pride was like the professional softball team. Yeah. Like the best one, in my opinion. Don't come after me. And I sat both games. And I remember thinking I wasn't really doing that great in the fall anyways, like hitting off of live and stuff like that.
Sophomore fall. Yeah.
And I really didn't change anything. Like, I still worked just as hard as I had before. I didn't play those two games, and I was really like annoyed about it.
I remember that.
I was really upset about it.
Dating.
Yeah. It's like, what the heck?
Yeah.
Like, I get sitting one game, but we played two games that night, and I didn't see the field for one inning out of the 14 innings.
Yeah, I was like,
dang. I didn't see the field for one inning, and I was like, well, like, I don't feel like as a player you're owed explanation
yeah.
for not playing, but I did feel like, I was like, I don't understand what I did wrong. And I'm an overthinker, so I was like, what did I do? Is this punishment? Am I just not? Am I going to sit this season? Like, what's going on?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember.
Third instance.
Well, just quickly, we just started dating, and that was like y'all's first true game that wasn't an inner squad.
Mm-hmm. You played eight games in the fall.
You said that you sat both games. I was like, to play softball. I thought this girl was good.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, no, I'm just kidding.
Third instance, and this was a little bit weird. This was my last season, and I played defense. I was kind of like a flex, like a defensive specialist, kind of. And we won't get too much into it, but I really just didn't get a chance to hit it all. I mean, the chances I did get, I did okay. Again, it wasn't like anything spectacular, but I wasn't really bad either.
Yeah. No.
Those are my three, the ones that come to mind when I think about riding
pine.
That
was AU, which obviously was just like the structure there is just different.
Yeah.
So, okay. Well, I guess I'll talk about my riding pine instances, and then we'll talk about
lessons
learned and how it can be good. You kind of already alluded to it with your first one. Well, kind of the same as you. Like, I don't think I ever really sat the bench growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I can remember. I mean, maybe for a little bit. Like there's a time in like 14U where I was a late bloomer, so I hadn't hit my growth spurt yet, and all the other kids kind of had, and I just felt like I was so small and just behind everybody, and I don't know if I sat the bench during that time, maybe for a little bit, but I don't remember enough for that to be one of my instances. But I do know college freshman year, like the first, actually that's not true, I sat the first game of college, and we've talked about this before, but again, like, that was an instance of riding the bench, but as a freshman, I wasn't shocked by it. I was like, hey, we're opening up with Oklahoma State. They were ranked like second at the time. I was like, makes sense. And then the very next game I played. So I was technically not riding pine. But for like the first 2 weeks of that season, I was kind of just like a pinch hitter off the bench until I was able to solidify my spot. So that was probably my first true instance of like not being an everyday starter that I had been used to for the entire time that I played baseball. And then pro ball. Didn't start on the bench. I was actually, after I got drafted, like that first short season, I was a pretty everyday player because they gave me a lot of opportunity to figure it out. But about like towards the end of that first short season, after just sucking it up, I started playing like every other day and then kind of finished the season off like that. And then going into the next season, started as like an every other day kind of guy because of the way my last season ended, and they were just gonna see if like I could figure it out and solidify myself, go win a spot back, and I didn't. And every other day eventually turned into playing once a week, and it was all downhill from there. That was tough. So those are kind of my instances of riding the bench in my career. But I would say that for both of us, like obviously, like for me, pro ball is the most I'd ever sat the bench.
Mm-hmm.
And then I know for you, your season at AU was probably the most of, I would say, like a true sitting the bench, even though you were flex.
Actually, there's one more I forgot about. My first couple of games, actually, it was the first game, my rookie year of pro ball.
Mm.
I was sitting, I wasn't planning on starting at all, actually. Yeah. And starting shortstop, tore her ACL like the first play of the game against Team USA.
Didn't you like go off?
Yeah.
Like you went nuts. So that's a good segue into the next topic of what is your advice for the player who is currently bench warming, how to stay ready, what should they be doing in this time, besides bad mouthing their coaches and their teammates and
classic,
you know, all the things that most bench warmers want to do, which is talk classic about all the reasons why everybody else is wrong. It's never your fault for being on the bench.
I think the first thing you should always do before season ever starts is to ask your coaches what role they see you playing that year. And I think that's a fair question to ask. I don't obviously don't go, all right, am I starting
right.
to your coach? Like, that's not how you should frame it, but ask, where do you see me fitting best for this program?
Yeah. Where can I help the most? Like, what's my role to help the team?
And if the answer is, okay, you know, we kind of see you as like an every other day guy, or maybe we don't really see you in the starting lineup, the next question is, okay, I can fit that role. You know, I'm going to do whatever you ask me to do. But what do you need to see for me specifically to get the opportunity to solidify or just to break into and then to solidify a starting position?
Yeah.
And ask specifics. Like if it's an arm strength thing, arm strength. If it's a batting average thing or like a bad contact, like figure out what exactly it is. And that way you have something to work on. Like you have something to practice, you're focused on it. And then when you get better at that thing and you're still not starting, or maybe you do start, then that's like your next launch point. It's like, what do I do next?
Like to stand on, but like to that point, it's instead of, cause I've fallen into this where I just sit back and try to assume or make up opinions in my head about why I'm not starting, which quickly turn into excuses. Which can quickly turn into talking about why is this person starting in that position and I'm not, they didn't play very well. And it's like, I think when you just ask the coaches straight up, like, hey, what's my role? Where can I help? How can I improve? Then you're giving yourself, especially if you achieve those things and work towards those things and actually improve in those ways, you're giving yourself a leg to stand on where it's like, hey, I've done everything that's been asked of me. Why am I still not starting?
Exactly.
Instead of sitting back and making excuses about why you think you're not starting.
Yeah. I think too, something that's important to remember is that, and this is so cliche, but every person on the team does play a role in winning.
Yeah.
And it's never fun to not be the person on the field.
No.
But you have a role when you're in the dugout. And I think you have to cling to that role. Like when I was playing at AU, my role was to be a defensive person. Mm-hmm. And so like when I got the chance to play defense, like,
let's go.
I was all in.
Yeah.
You know, I'm the first person running down to the fence every single half inning.
That you were.
Like, you know, like I'm going to go all in, like whatever it is. Of course I want to be a starter and I want to contribute and I want to go draw bombs, but you know, whatever.
It could have been so easy for you to just like, kind of mope your way through defense because you're pissed that you're not hitting because you know you're capable and that you should be. But like to your point, you really were. You're like every inning, first one down and back, like I'm going to be ready to go when my time comes, even if it's just as a defender.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's so huge because, again, we've talked about how individualized this sport is of baseball and softball. Like it's the most individual team sport ever, it feels like. And so it's so easy to focus on every aspect of the game and why am I not doing this, this, and this because I'm that guy or that girl. And it's like, hey, your coach just sees you as a really good glove right now. And that's what your team needs you to be in order for your team to win games. And
it's also good, I think, too. I think sitting the bench helps you to become a better student of the strategy of the game because you're able to observe more.
Yeah.
Like you can either choose to be in the dugout and just like distract yourself and be bored, or you can like look and try to pick pitches. You can look and see tendencies. You can look and watch patterns. You can do all these things that sometimes starters can't do because they're so hyper-focused on the next play, the next thing.
Yeah.
And so you can actually help your coaches, your teammates, maybe it's through charting, maybe it's through just word of mouth or whatever, but like you can help the team strategically be in a better position to win.
I've done some charting. That was something that, like I had to be the best teammate I could be because if I wasn't, I was just going to be sour. And like, I could not do that on a day in, day out. Cause once I became a once every third or fourth day player, I was like, okay, I'm spending way too much time at the ball field to be sitting here and being a bad teammate.
Yeah.
But there were times, like, I'm not going to sit here and lie, like, there are times where I found myself rooting against my own teammates because they were in the same position that I wanted to be in, and it's wanted easy that to guy do. To fail because I wanted my shot, and so it's just...
But I think it goes back to this, is when you're not the one starting, you don't want to start because somebody else isn't doing well. You want to start because you're the best.
Because you've earned it, right.
And I think that sometimes it's so easy to slip into what you're talking about, and I've felt that way before, is when you start to slip into, I want them to fail, why am I not out there, and that becomes vocalized to other teammates who are also riding pine, that's when you become the cancer on the team. And I know exactly, I can think of instances in my playing career all throughout where it was one person, who just let the negativity get to them, and one person turned into two, turned into four, turned into six, and then everybody who's on the bench is mad and angry and like happy when the people that are playing mess up, happy when they strike out, happy when they make errors, happy whenever. It's like, at what point did it get that bad when the first person wasn't nipped in the bud.
Yep.
And that's bad leadership. We could talk about that some other time. But
I've seen the very same thing happen where it's, rooting against your teammate, and then you start gossiping about, hey, dude, like, he's messing up again. I cannot believe, like, I'm still not getting a shot.
Now imagine girls and the way that girls are.
Yeah.
And multiply that by 1,000 billion.
And there's the downfall of the team.
Downfall of the team.
Yeah, no, it's, cancer's a great way to put it. So advice, just obviously, if you're currently in that position where, whether in your high school team, select team, whatever, and you're not getting the playing time you think you deserve, back to your points, I know you already gave the advice about ask your coach what your role
it's
is.
Like, how can you specific?
How can you nail that and give yourself a leg to stand on, so that if you do have to ask your coach again, you've created an argument for yourself, mm-hmm. like a defense for yourself.
Yeah, you can prep yourself. You're allowed to do that.
Yeah. I think my advice kind of would be the good teammate thing we just talked about on top of what you've already said. Figure out where you need to improve. Go mm-hmm. improve there and then have an argument for yourself. But on top of that, be a good teammate because, like you said earlier, everybody has a role. And I think that if your current role is, hey, I'm riding pine and I need to have good energy in the dugout, that's a role. Mm-hmm. That's a huge role. And there's a handful of guys that I can think of in my career, more than a handful of guys who like embrace that role. And I'm not saying they embrace it because they were happy to be on the bench. Mm-hmm. Those guys wanted to be on the field just as bad as anybody else, but they did not let their circumstances just allow them to become a cancer. They knew that, hey, it looks like all today I can bring to this team is my energy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do it. And I'm going to be the best teammate I can be. Go pick up your teammates. Hey, so-and-so just got out. I'm going to run his glove out to him. Help him get on and off the field a little quicker.
Yeah.
First one up when the team scores. Cheering loud. Getting guys bubblegum. Like, I know it seems like a pretty pathetic role, to be honest. It's like, oh.
From an outsider's perspective,
I'm playing college baseball and I'm helping my teammates get their glove so they can get on and off the field. Like, what am I, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's a pride thing.
But it's a pride thing. I think if you look at it that way, then that's all you're going to see is I'm the little helper, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, it's helping your character. It's helping, one, set an example for maybe some younger players around you. Two, obviously, like, I think coaches recognize that stuff. Coaches know guys who want to be on the field, not just by how many extra hacks you're taking before and after the game or how hard you're working during in and out. Like, mm-hmm. they also know your body language and your character when you're not the guy. And that's a big thing.
So you know, the best way to tell who that player is on every single team is watch when the coach calls somebody to pinch hit and they are successful. They get a hit.
Yeah.
See how the dugout reacts. When there is an eruption, an explosion of noise and energy, that's the guy that's the best teammate.
That's true.
And when there isn't, that's the guy who's complaining and always, you know, a cynic about stuff.
Yeah, no, that's so true. No, I think, that would be my advice. It's just like, no matter your situation, riding pine, everyday player, bring the energy, be a good teammate, because you can't forget this is a team sport mm-hmm. and everybody has their role, like you said. What would you say is, I don't know, the best lesson that you learned from being a bench player or being benched?
I think it depends on what season you're in. I think there's different reasons to be benched, and I've experienced quite a few of them.
Yeah.
One is the injury, being benched for reasons you can't control.
Right.
Two is being benched by maybe a coach who has unfair expectations or plays favorites.
Yeah.
Three would be being benched because you're not good enough. And then four is similar to number two, but just politics of the game, that kind of stuff. And I feel like it depends on which one you're in, but no matter what one you're in, every day you have decisions to make about, do you choose the positive path? Do you choose the optimistic path? Or do you make the decisions that are the easy, pessimistic, complaining? Like, it takes zero talent to not complain.
True.
And I think that, and I'm not perfect. I've complained my fair share.
Yeah.
But I feel like complaining adds nothing to the situation. And especially in a team environment, complaining is one of the things that leads to like being a cancer, you know? So like every time you feel, and it's just self-awareness, every time you feel like you want to complain or you want to say something negative, like, you don't have to be blindly optimistic and bubbly and say everything's going to be fine and I'm going to start and blah, 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 because that might not be true.
Right.
But you can choose to say, this is hard. This isn't fun for me. But in this hard situation, I'm going to choose the harder right over the easier wrong.
Yep.
And I'm going to go out there and be my best team, my best version of myself.
Does that feel like that's something you learned or felt like you did well?
Yeah, and I failed at it several times. But
oh, for sure, me too.
I feel like after I was done playing, I felt more clarity on that. Yeah. It was like, first of all, from a faith perspective, God doesn't care if I start or not. That's facts. Really, I mean, in most situations,
yeah,
softball's insignificant.
Yeah.
But I realized that after I was done playing, I was like, you can teach people so much more. You can be such a good example for the people that are younger than you,
mm-hmm,
or other kids that are going to your games, looking in the dugout, seeing, okay, I ride the bench. What are the people that are playing pro or college? What do they do when they're riding the bench?
Right.
And so you can be a good example beyond the field.
It's so funny to think of it like that, because obviously we think of like kids and fans, like, obviously liking the best player on the team, mm-hmm, is the star. And it's like, there's been so many times in my career where I've had kids who, and this is something I'm proud of, like when I was struggling in pro ball, which was most of my time with the Oakland A's, just how it was. I don't know. Like I always made sure to sign for as many kids as I could, mm-hmm, because they didn't care. They didn't even know if I was in the game or not half the time. Like literally, there would be lines of people waiting.
They're just there for the hot dogs.
They're just there for, you know,
in the seventh inning stretch.
Yeah, like they see us as these like heroes, and it's like, dude, I'm in single A right now and I'm hitting .170. Like, you have no idea how bad I think I suck and everybody else around me thinks I suck. But like, these kids don't see it. They're like, that's a role model. Like, oh my gosh, this kid, this is a pro baseball player. They think we're big leaguers. Like, they just don't know any better.
Yeah.
And so that was something that often, the character lesson that I learned was just perspective and patience. I think that God gave me a lot of perspective in that time in my life, and I needed it, because when I went into pro ball again, I was on my high horse. It was like, I just got drafted higher than I probably should have, made a little money. It was kind of cool. I was feeling myself, mm-hmm, and he quickly humbled me, brought me back to earth via bench warming. And I think that that's one thing early on, I fell into that trap of like, hey, you know, comparing, cheering for my teammates to do bad,
mm-hmm,
in my head. I was becoming a bit of a cancer, talking to my parents about other guys and how they shouldn't be there and I should.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of just like putting my head down and going to work. And that's something that honestly, I'll tell you, like, I stopped working. I started making excuses and stopped working. And not to go too in depth, but I have a very fond memory of the day Logan Davidson, who is in AAA, probably going to be in the bigs here at any moment now. This was year two in Vermont. I was pissed that I was back there. And the new round of draft guys at the 2019 draft class was just showing up to short season. And Logan Davidson got there day one, and I was stretching. He was on the bike in the weight room. And I just remember telling him, like, yeah, man, like, just wait. Once you get into this schedule, like, you're not going to be able to work out and do as much as you probably could before. And he just said to me, he was like, yeah, we'll see. And I was like,
and that's why he was a first rounder.
And I was like, that hit me. That's something that sticks with me to this day. Shout out to Logan. Awesome dude.
He's a good guy.
Awesome guy. But I remember, like, in that moment, I had an epiphany. I was like, dude, what has gotten into me? Because I was that guy.
Yeah, you were.
I was the guy that was like, yeah, we'll see.
So it happens. You don't even recognize yourself anymore.
One season of sucking and riding the bench a little bit, it was like confidence was shot, and mm-hmm, I had turned into this cancer guy who was trying to tell everybody else around me that, like, it's not what you think it is. Or yeah, it's not. You're not going to do what you thought.
You're putting limitations on others you've already put on yourself.
Exactly. And so I guess back to the topic of the lesson I learned was, like, one, I started to lose myself a little bit, and I don't know, just hard work. Like, it's so cliche, but like, hard work prevails, and you mm-hmm can't lose that mentality no matter your circumstance. And I started going into making excuses and doing all these things. And so hard work prevails. And I know it's a cliche thing to say, but hard work beats talent or any circumstance 100% of the time. The game doesn't care who you are. The game doesn't know who you are. Mm-hmm. It only knows the hours and effort that is put in. And the game always rewards those who work the hardest, and I'm a firm believer in that always. So shout out to Logan, because I seriously, when he said that to me, it woke something up inside of me. Like, it refueled me, and I still continued to suck, but like I had a complete
still rode the bench.
I had a complete just perspective change in that moment, because I was like, that was me. That was me. I was that guy my entire career, and I let one bad season get to me and shake my confidence to becoming this excuse maker and cancer. And I was like, I'm not that guy. I've never been that guy. And so,
and that's why you have to surround yourself with people who keep you in check like that.
And it gave me perspective. And so that was my big thing. It's just like benchwarming. It gave me perspective on the bigger picture. It refocused me. But the real point I wanted to make is just like, back to the kids, it gave me perspective on the fact that I was living the dream, even though I was sitting on the bench and making very little money. Like, the dream that I had once had when I was that kid asking for autographs, like, I was getting to do that. And instead of embracing that and being back to the teammate, or just embracing your situation kind of guy, I was being a pouty baby about the fact that I was riding pine. I spent probably a year of my time playing professional baseball, which is the stream I worked my entire life for, pouting or being a cancer or thinking bad about my teammates because I was upset about the fact that I was on the bench when I had no reason to be either. Like, I had no reason to be upset. I was not hitting well. I had stopped working, and it was like, of course you're on the bench, dude. You're not doing anything to fix it. So that was the lesson I learned, is just have perspective, be where your feet are, put in the work. If you're currently a bench warmer, one day at a time, and again, it's cliche, but one day at a time, and just start stacking up small victories, and you're going to be okay. But
there is life beyond the game.
Well, that's the last thing I'll say in perspective. And that's the biggest picture here, is that God taught me a lot of patience. He taught me a lot of patience in that time. And that's the one silver lining, and the only thing that matters that came from my probably pro ball experience with the A's was, I truly believe he used all that to bring me back to him closer, because that was the most I'd probably ever been in the word. And, I needed that. So if that's why I had to suck at baseball, then hey, I will gladly ride pine. If it means that I'm growing in my faith with Jesus. So,
and I'll say this too. I feel like you learn the most about yourself, you grow the most in your faith as a human being, in your character, through hard stuff.
Yeah.
Because again, it's so easy to be positive, good teammate when you're an All-American. It's the easiest thing in the world. Everything's going great for you.
Yeah.
It's so hard when you feel like you're falling short to be that same positive person.
You know what's crazy though on that topic is I feel like in the best season, so I'd probably say my junior year of college was like one of the better seasons of my career, good enough to get me drafted. That was also a time though where I was very plugged into my faith.
Yeah.
And I think that that's why, like,
that's a good point.
That was a year that had so much riding on it, for me specifically. It was draft year, and I felt a lot of stress, but like I didn't, because I had fully surrendered that year to just saying like, God, whatever I do inside these lines, let it glorify you. And I truly feel like I was working in that. It wasn't just something I was saying or thinking, like, I was truly working every day. I was in the word every single day before my game. Like, I had a strict ritual of like, do all my stuff, read the word, and then go play for his glory. But then I got to pro ball and that stopped. Because I don't know, maybe I just felt busy or felt
you just like fall out of things sometimes.
Yeah. And so it's funny you say that though, because during one of the best times of my life when I was plugged in and doing great, I stayed on it. And then,
but you're not tested until you face the adversity. Right.
And then during one of the worst times of my baseball career, he replugged me back in.
Yeah.
And so
it's like studying for the test versus taking the test.
Yeah.
And studying was during the time it was good.
Right.
The taking of the test was when it was
bad. But my whole thing is like, I think that in the good season and the bad season, once I was in the word, like in my good season, I had bad. And in my bad seasons, I had good.
Mm-hmm.
But none of that performance mattered to me when I was daily plugged in to my faith and to the word. And so, that's the biggest lesson I would say. I know I've rattled off too many already, but just remember why you play. and know that your worth is not in this game. Not even a sliver of your worth is in the game of baseball or softball. So if you're riding pine, it doesn't matter. You're going to be okay. God doesn't care. He still loves you. And he probably put you there for a reason, you know?
So, good point.
Well, that's all I've got on bench warming. Get up, get the splinters out of your butt, go be a good teammate, and be where your feet are. And don't quit working. You're going to be fine. That's the Retired Podcast. We are signing off. Good night.